Obama says if you build exports, jobs will come.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. President Obama has created a council of corporate A-listers to help increase exports. More on that in a minute. But first, where's Wall Street? Looking pretty good. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.1% to 9,756. The NASDAQ is up 0.4% to 2102. And the S&P 500 is also up 0.4% to 1031. President Obama has created an 18-member export council, including the CEOs of Ford and Disney. The president says it will help the U.S. double exports in the next 5 years. Richard DeCaeser is chief economist at Woodley Park Research in Washington. He joins us live. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Richard, Obama says he's focusing on exports because they will create jobs. Is that true?
Well, sure it is. There's a rule of thumb that for each $1 billion of exports, we get about 7,000 jobs. So to any extent that we can grow those numbers, that will certainly go to the bottom line, so to speak.
Is it realistic to double our exports in 5 years?
It's a bit of a stretch. I was just checking my own math, and my own forecasts go out that far and show about a 70 to 80% increase in exports. So doubling would be a stretch, but like most councils organized to pursue lofty goals, a little bit of a stretch probably makes sense. And it's important to remember that the rest of the world has been and will continue to be growing more rapidly than the United States. So trying to hitch onto that growth definitely makes sense in terms of boosting our overall economic performance.
Another interesting bit of news out this morning, the EU has just voted to cap bankers' bonuses for the next year. There's, of course, been some noise about doing that same thing in this country as well. Is that a good idea?
The general concept of better aligning compensation in the banking industry with risk-taking is a fabulous idea, and we learned that lesson the hard way over the past several years. But the EU proposal goes a little bit far. It's very explicit, has very precise figures which do run a risk. They could chase workers out of the banking industry into what we've now called the shadow banking industry, which has mushroomed tremendously as regulations have overwhelmingly focused on banks, and hence we've seen the explosion in hedge funds, private equity firms, and all sorts of conduits that have been much more difficult to track. And doing this will actually encourage that migration out of the banking industry.
Richard DeCaeser is chief economist at Woodley Park Research. Thanks, Richard.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where BP is? The Justice Department is working on that. It's asked the oil giant for advanced warning of any plans it makes that would impact the company's future, things like signing a deal with foreign investors. The BBC's Rebecca Singer has more.
As if BP didn't have enough on its plate, it's now got the US Attorney General breathing down its neck. And a report in today's Financial Times says the news shows just how closely the Obama administration is watching the oil giant's every move. But Justin Urquhart-Stewart, a fund manager with Seven Investment Management, is unsettled by it.
In the land of the free, this is most unusual to actually see this sort of direct intervention. This is not a commercial problem for BP anymore. It is a political world they're now in.
BP hasn't yet responded to the letter, but with the possibility of billion-dollar fines and being stripped of drilling permits, industry insiders think BP will agree to the request. At the moment, though, its chief executive is travelling the world. He's just landed in Abu Dhabi, one of BP's main partners in the Middle East, and a trip the US government is no doubt keeping a very close eye on. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
A recent study from Yale's Rudd Center for Food Policy found kids think food tastes better when cartoon characters are on the packaging. It's part of many studies in the way food is marketed to children. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus offers up his own modest proposal for the obesity epidemic. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So, David, you had a solution to the obesity epidemic that you proposed in your LA Times column last week. What was that?
It's pretty simple, actually. Let's substitute tobacco for junk food when we think about regulation. And by that, what I mean is we already have very effective measures to address the tobacco problem. And in fact, we've brought the smoking rate down from nearly 50% among adults to 20% because of these steps that we take. All I'm saying is apply the same thinking to junk food, and maybe you can bring the obesity rate down as well.
And what reaction did you get for this proposal?
Well, the phrase food Nazi has resonated a number of times in my email box, and also communist, socialist. People feel very strongly when you tell them what can and can't go into their mouths, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you ban sugary beverages. I'm just saying if you treat it like tobacco, you will disincentivize. Not only will you limit the marketing, limit the sponsorships, and hopefully limit the access that kids will have to a lot of this, because health experts say it's all about the external cues. If you are exposed to external cues to eat this stuff, your body naturally says, ooh, sugar, ooh, fat, salt, I want that. So you cut that down, and then also put taxes in place that would then be applied to wellness programs, just like we do with tobacco.
What has the industry response been to this kind of suggestion?
You know what? They don't like it, it turns out.
Really?
In fact, they are circling their wagons as we speak. Most of the attention so far has been on soda taxes, one of which just got defeated in New York. The industry says, look, we have to fight these things. We've got to do everything we can to work together to oppose them. Well, of course, that's what they say. One recent study at Harvard found that if you increased the price of soda, the consumption would fall off precipitously.
David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the Los Angeles Times. David, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, to help prepare for a new theme park in Shanghai, Disney plans to open about 150 English language schools in China over the next 5 years. What better company to teach English than one that invented so many eloquent and articulate characters? In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.